Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome to 100 Medical Centers. No, I was going to say 100 Medical Center. That's next hour. I'm all right. This is NAMI's Hour. Compliments at 100 County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state, every state in the union, and overseas. In 100 County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff. And we work out of our houses, use our own phones, et cetera, et cetera. And we try to help people, families who have someone in their family who has a mental illness or someone who has a mental illness get help that they need. We do this in various ways. We have classes that we teach called Family to Family, which is for families who have someone either in their family related to them or someone they work with or their next-door neighbor. Who has a mental health issue, and it teaches them about the meds, side effects, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances, and it sort of like helps them understand more what the person with the illness is going through. We also have support groups that we run. We do that once a month on the third Thursday of the month, and it's at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. And it is from 7 to 8:30 and longer if need be, where groups can come together, where people can come together and just talk about their problems that they're having and or, you know. And it's all confidential. And, you know, there are other people there that have either been through it or are going through the same thing and can help each other out. There's a course called BASIC, which we do, which is for families who have children under the age of 18 and as young as 3 and 4. Who have issues, and that's a 7-week course, and everything we do is free. There is no charge. So consequently, it's good if you want some information, and we're there to help. You don't have to do the battle alone. If you want to reach out to us, it's 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't man the phone 24/7. We can't have somebody do that. But we do check the line once a day, and we promise we will get back to you. We are very privileged today to have with us Ronnie Todd Marino, who is the, unless its titles change, is still the Social Services Director for Fisherman's Mark.
Still the same.
Okay, that's great. Well, we're very happy to have you here, Ronnie. And I know that, you know, you guys do a good job down there, and I don't know that everybody knows what it is, where it is, and who it serves. So if you could just give a brief history about Fisherman's Mark, sure. I would appreciate it.
Yeah. So Fisherman's Mark has been, we're in Lambertville, and we've been around for 36 years as a social service agency. And we don't have some of the restrictions that some other places have. So we serve anyone, actually. Anyone in crisis can come to us. Primarily our clients come from Hunterdon County, Mercer County, Bucks County, because we're right on the river. Mm-hmm. But we don't have geographic limitations, and we don't have income limitations. So if somebody is experiencing a crisis in their family, they have a family member with a new mental health diagnosis, or might be a senior that needs help getting into nursing home. We don't have to turn them away if they hit a threshold, which some other agencies have.
Right.
So we really do provide comprehensive services. Our tagline is help when help is needed, and we really are that meant to be that for anyone in crisis.
And you said it was 38 years?
36
years?
36
years.
36 years. We've been there. We're as old as Pac-Man. We saw that.
Okay.
Well, next year I'll tell you why that's important, because I think we're doing an 80s themed fundraiser next year. So that's why I read that.
I vaguely remember the 80s. Yeah.
So a lot of people have an idea about some of the programs that we have, but we actually have 7 programs. They're all and they're meant to be comprehensive, because people don't bring just one need at a time.
Okay.
You know, so I'll give a real quick overview of what some of those services are.
If you can, I have, correct me if I'm wrong on these, I have information, resource, and referral.
Right. Pointing people to the resources that might be available to them. Yeah.
And what if you ever run into where people doesn't fit into the resource that would be best available for them?
Sure. That happens a lot. People are looking for one specific thing. Like, it might be somebody's coming to saying that their car broke down and they need a new car. So we know that it's very difficult to – there are very few programs, limited programs, that would really help with getting a new car. But there's we're creative. You know, where there isn't one thing, we say, well, let's see. There might be these other things, something that could help reduce your bills, something that could help reduce your car insurance, different things, so that it frees up money in the budget. Yeah, being creative is pretty – it's like top of our job description
Now what happens if you find that you would have to refer someone to hospital or something like that? Do you find much resistance to that, or?
So yes and no. So when somebody comes to us, information, resource, and referral is one level. Case management is when someone's at risk. So we'll be working with someone. And most of the time, you know, a lot of the work that happens in case management is building that trust, building that understanding, like these are your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
There are times, and this is, you know, there are times when, you know, when somebody has chronic pervasive mental illness, one of the most important things is trust and stability. And so that's one thing that we're also able to provide that's really wonderful and beautiful about what we do, is that, you know, that we can work for extended periods of time. There isn't like a 2 weeks you're discharged, six weeks you're discharged.
Right.
And so sometimes it might be a recommendation that's early on to say you would benefit from treatment. And the person may resist. And then it might be 6 months later, well, you know, some of the things that you're struggling with that you're still bringing to me would still be better. You would feel better if you went to treatment, and they may still resist. But sometimes it's just bringing it up and bringing it up in a way that isn't hard hitting. Now, if somebody's at risk, then they need to go to the hospital.
Well, that's different. You know,
that's different.
Right.
And we do help people through that process.
All right. With the case management, though, you're focusing on their becoming self-sufficient, basically, aren't you?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're meeting with them. We're helping them to analyze what's happening in their life, to look at it, like, you know, from the perspective of different factors that might be keeping them back. One might be their housing expenses. One might be their mental health, their physical health. Another would be their social support system, earnings level. Like, looking at all of those areas and saying, okay, how can we help you improve at least one, but hopefully all of them, but doing it in a way that it's easier to celebrate the successes, to look at, you know, to kind of prioritize.
Right.
And keep them going towards those goals. But they're self-set goals, and we work with them always, you know, we're trying to get them to take control of their lives and to make these steps towards self-sufficiency, but also teach them that the confidence and the skills that they need so that they can avoid future crisis. So what are the things that they can do to stay ahead of it? Budgeting, earnings, all of the things that can help avoid the future crisis, getting onto medications, telling their doctor when something's happening. So,
do you find that you get a lot of homelessness? Or
yeah, we have a fair amount of homeless, and there's definitely a misperception in our area, particularly. You know, people will come even into Lambertville and say, why do you even need a food pantry? So they're not recognizing that there is poverty in our area. But if you look at the fact that housing costs are so high, cost of living is so high in our area, and earning levels haven't gone up to meet that same, meet the same level. There's a lot of people who are at risk of homelessness all the time. They're living paycheck to paycheck, and one crisis can really throw them off. And then there's a fair amount of people who are deemed chronically homeless because they don't have an income. They may receive disability, but they can't afford any housing currently. So,
if all they're getting is disability, that just about covers what they have to, buy to eat.
Right. $768 doesn't go far when you're looking at fair market value. Rents are $1,200.
Sure.
So, it's really it's an intractable situation for a lot of people, and so we're trying to help and be creative.
And I understand that in some cases people don't want help through social services or things like that because they feel that they're being restricted with, the goal for everybody is to get the person out in the workforce, get them a job, get them a place to live, and so on and so forth. And in many cases, when that happens, first thing that happens is they raise their rent.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like they're working 3-4 days a week part-time. I'm speaking from experience, my son.
Yeah.
And as soon as he got a job, they raised his rent. As soon as he worked there for almost a year, they raised it again.
Right.
And it's like
it kind of kills the incentive.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been better off not having a job. He wouldn't have been better off mentally or physically.
Right.
But he would have been better off financially if he didn't,
Yeah, and that's a really hard thing, to help people recognize that if their income's going up, there's that threshold, that really dangerous area for them. But when they might not be earning enough that they feel like they're in a better position because they're losing all of the benefits that they may have been eligible for before, but helping them to recognize that long term that they're in a better position. And that's it's very critical and needs a lot of attention and a lot of support during that phase, or they're going to basically cap their own earnings so that they don't have to lose the things.
Well, that's pretty much what my son does.
Right.
I mean, he only started working part time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And for him, that's good because, a full time job he just couldn't handle.
And you think the stress that puts on will then cause more difficulty with
symptoms. Sure. Absolutely. Right? So, his case manager tells me, try to keep this amount of, a month and, da da da. And he makes sure he keeps it below that amount,
Mm-hmm.
And his boss realizes that the situation, so he helps them do that too.
Right.
But it's just, like I said, you want people to go out and get help, and you want them to go to work, and you want them to be back part of the workforce and to live their lives, and yet they go put another obstacle in their way,
Right.
So it's just,
right.
I don't know, it just kills me. But anyway, do you have a Spanish-speaking program?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Am I going to say it right? Los Puentes?
Close. Los Puentes.
Well.
I'm
Native American. I'm not Spanish. So.
and probably I would be corrected as well. That's called the Bridges. Los Puentes means the Bridges.
Okay.
And it's really meant to provide the same services that we provide in English, like information resource and referral and case management, to a Spanish-speaking population. But then we have other programs that are really meant to meet the needs of recent immigrants. So there might be like programs that come and talk about nutrition and health or how to be involved in your child's educational plan. Right now we have a new program where we're teaching cooking skills in Spanish. Hmm. So a lot of the residents of our area that are Latino, Latina, work in kitchens. Okay. And so if we're helping them to build their skills, they may be able to get more some of the higher paying positions within the kitchen. So it's little things like that we're trying to, you know, like say, like look at who are we working with, who are our clients, and what could they benefit from. So that's that is our newest program, and it's
okay.
It's a really neat one.
You had wanted to talk about that.
I was going to ask about that, right? Because I saw it on the website. Now, do you plan to continue that next year? I noticed it's going to be ending. The second one will be ending sometime in November. I
think what the plan is we've had two sessions,
right.
Two 4-week sessions,
right.
And then take a break for the holidays, and then reintroduce it next year. That's the plan as of this moment.
You don't get involved in job placement afterwards, do you?
We help people with job placement. That's mm-hmm. a part of what we do. Not necessarily that they're enrolled in this program and then we would be linking them directly, mm-hmm. but a part of information resource and referral and case management is linking people to work. And we have vocational coaches. Oh, we have volunteers that are trained vocational coaches. Mm-hmm. So they're helping with resume writing. They're helping with marketing. If somebody has a small business, you know, helping them to put flyers up and post them on, you know, mm-hmm. Local social media or, you know, in newspapers mm-hmm. and things like that. So really we have a lot of different ways that we support employability. Yeah.
What do you do for community outreach?
Community outreach, we do quite a lot. There's actually it's a big umbrella. So our community outreach programs kind of meet two different goals. One is to reduce family stress. So one that would be things like our backpacks that we distribute with back-to-school supplies
right.
that we distribute in September. We're right now in our holiday program time. So we distribute food at Thanksgiving and again at the holidays, so two different holiday mm-hmm. meals, and then also gifts for the children of our clients and for seniors or people on disability. So that's really, you know, this time of year can be very stressful for families, and so it's those little expenses that come up. The other aspect of our community outreach is really about promoting wellness. And so we have, and that's for everyone. It's, you know, it's really, it's intended to bypass stigma. So to bring people to us that might have been resistant for whatever reason, to see that we're not scary, you know, that, you know, we're friendly and helpful and we would like to help them. But it also is about, you know, bringing, improving access to healthy resources. So we have, in the summertime, we have a farm stand, where we have donated produce from local farms and farmers markets, and we distribute it. And we have chefs that come in and do cooking demonstration and nutrition education programs for that. So that's a really fun program that runs throughout the summer. That's called the F3 Farm Stand or Families, Farmers, and Fishermen's Mark Farm Stand.
Yeah.
We also have a program called Food for Thought, where we have a collaborative with the Rutgers Robert Wood Johnson Medical School,
mm-hmm.
and they have students come and do a rotation with us. And so I go with a student, and we bring groceries to the two local senior low-income housing apartment buildings, and we distribute groceries, and we lead health and wellness discussions. So it can be, you know, understanding arthritis or falls prevention or diabetes, depression in the elderly. We've even done sexual health in the elderly, so which was a very popular day.
I would imagine.
Yeah, I really would imagine it would be.
Yeah.
So that's another one of our great community outreach programs. Like I said, it's a broad umbrella, and we're always doing different things to promote wellness and to help people make ends meet.
Right, right. And it's, you know, It's so helpful because, you know, people need all sorts of different things. When you were saying before about the holidays, I know a lot of people get depressed prior to the holidays, yes. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, the Jewish holidays. Mm-hmm. But I know just as many get depressed after the holidays.
Yes.
It's not that, oh, it's over and things are good now. They get depressed for whatever reason after the holidays. Mm-hmm. And the reason I notice so well is that one of our guests who's been on quite a few times is a doctor from Long Island. Mm-hmm. And she suffers from depression and has been hospitalized and all that. And she has a clientele, patients. But she says it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's not only before, but it's after.
It's after, yeah.
You know, now they have nothing to look forward to.
Right.
Now they don't have, oh, I got to get ready for Thanksgiving. Oh, I can make, you know,
right.
turkey sandwiches or whatever.
Right.
Or Christmas or whatever the case may be. But now it's over.
Right.
Now they have nothing to look forward to. So now they don't have a reason to get out of bed.
And those dark days of winter when,
oh, yeah.
when it's just hard. It's hard for anybody to get out of bed.
You yeah, know? Exactly. Yeah. You know.
And if you add bills from overspending at the holidays to it, that becomes very overwhelming.
Oh yeah,
so, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, and they're still paying them off in July. You know, mm-hmm. from you know, mm-hmm. credit card bills from Christmas. You know,
sure.
or something. So,
sure.
What about volunteer program?
So we have a very large, very vibrant program. I mentioned that we have some vocational coaches as a part of our program. We are a very small staff, so most of the work that is done is reliant on our volunteers. Our food pantry is completely manned by volunteers. A lot of our events are coordinated by volunteers. We are trying to provide an experience for our volunteers that is rewarding and that helps them if they're trying to build skills as mm-hmm. well. So we have a lot of groups that come in. It might be like a team building activity for a local business that wants to come help us with a truck delivery. It's Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. You know, we've got a program that I'll talk about a little later where Girl Scouts were creating this work, you know, a banner that was promoting an event of ours, and it really was a part of them starting a conversation around what do we do to as a group, you know, how do we
right.
how do we as a community address issues of poverty. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits to volunteering. We also have a relationship with Hunterdon and ARC. So young people with developmental disabilities come with mm-hmm. their vocational coach, and they are learning the skills that are required working, you know, being in a work
right.
environment. And, you know, we benefit from their enthusiasm and energy, and they also just help us keep the place clean and running well.
Right,
so,
right.
So that's a perfect win-win situation for us.
Do you have, like, a screening thing for somebody wants to volunteer, like what they're good at or what they're not good at or
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah, so part of our the application talks about what they're good at, what people are good at, what their interests are. And then we do an orientation where we talk about, you know, we talk about the Fisherman's Mark culture. Our culture is very grounded in empowering individuals, treating people with dignity, being culturally responsive.
Mm-hmm.
Confidentiality is absolutely
critical. Absolutely.
So that's a part of our training. But then we ask them, like, you tell us, what is it that you want to do? What are the skills that you bring to the table? And do you, you know, sometimes they're like, well, I don't, you know, yes, I'm an IT person, but I don't want to do that. I would rather go do something completely different. This might be my skill set, but don't do that. I want to go, you know, take out your garbage or
yeah.
something else, anything. But really, it's meant to match. It's meant to match the skills
right,
and talents of
right.
the volunteers, their interests, and what our needs are. So sometimes
okay.
we have to be creative when somebody says, oh, you know, I'm really interested in working with, you know, this population. Okay, well, you know, that's good to know. And let me think and put some resources
right.
around that, figure out if that's something that we can do. So, like the cooking skills class, that came from people who, a board member and another person who came and said, we want to do this. This is a skill that we have. This is something that, you know, we've
right.
done. We want to bring it to Fisherman's Mark. So that's how sometimes programs are born.
Yeah. Do you get any help from NorthCap?
NorthWestCap.
NorthWestCap. I'll get it right.
Northwest Community Action.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes. So we have a relationship with NorthWestCap for they are the regional food bank.
Right.
And so we purchase food from them, and we get some free food through them as well. But the food that we purchase is through a reduced rate. And so that enables us to stock, you know, that's the bulk of our food pantry stock. Obviously, we have a lot of food drives, but that's where we would get, like, our proteins and things like that. So chickens and all that good stuff come from NorthWestCap. And that's a part of why when people sometimes will talk about doing a food drive, we try to talk to them about the value of doing a fund drive. I know that people like to have that tangible, like they feel good putting the can of soup in there. Like, well, giving money isn't the same. But really, the same price that they paid for that can of soup, we could get five. So it's, you know, that's something that we talk about, and it's a little bit sometimes uncomfortable to say, you know, it'd be really great if you just collected $5 from everyone instead. But that's, yeah.
Do you ever get any donations from, you know, supermarkets and stuff like that?
Yeah. So our food pantry is really wonderful because we, you know, we have a lot of great relationships with supermarkets, with local farms. We have a great relationship with ShopRite and Grow a Row, America's Grow a Row.
Right.
And so we are able to provide year-round fresh produce through that relationship. All of our, you know, our food pantry is one of our programs, and it's unique because it's open 5 days a week, and we let people do the shopping so they can choose based on their own personal preference, their cultural preference, knowing that food choice is pretty central to your identity. And if we're promoting dignity, then we should be respecting that, those choices. But we also, like I said, we're really very committed to addressing the issue of health disparities with low-income populations. So making sure that we have access to fresh food, what we purchase are considered healthful options. So we have very, very high-quality offerings in our food pantry. I should mention that one relationship that we have in our food pantry, our funding is limited. We can't. Our food pantry isn't open to everyone. It used to be. Unfortunately, at one point, it was really anyone from the area surrounding. Well, from pretty far away could come. We had to restrict the ongoing food pantry use. Now, if somebody's in an emergency, I don't care if they're from, you know, Alaska, they come here, you know, we'll give them food right then. But to use it as an ongoing client, you have to live within 10 mile radius or in Hunterdon County, because we get our food from Hunterdon County, NorthWestCap.
Right.
The one exception is we do have a collaborative with two different organizations in Trenton, because they used our program before we had to make this cut, and we recognized that this was a particularly vulnerable population for those health disparities. And that's Oaks Integrated Care and Serve. Both are our agencies meant to support people with chronic pervasive mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's mostly the people that are living in their residential programs that are coming to use our food pantry with case managers. So like I said, our food pantry is really you know, we're always looking for opportunities to help people live better. And that's another access to healthy food, access to nutrition information and education, because we know that low-income individuals and people with mental health needs are very often the most prone to chronic diseases that are brought on by malnutrition or poor nutrition.
You know, I just found out recently that food stamps do not cover deodorant. They don't cover shampoo. They don't cover soap. They don't cover feminine products.
Right.
They don't cover toilet paper.
Right.
What in the world? What genius sat behind some friggin' desk somewhere and came up with this idea?
Yeah.
I mean,
really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, can you believe this? I was so shy. I says, you got to be kidding. And then they showed it to me. And they're right. They do not cover it.
Right.
And I mean, oh, but they'll cover ice cream. Oh, yeah, you can get ice cream with food stamps.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you can get potato chips, mm-hmm. but you can't get toilet paper. I mean, really? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, or soap or, you know. Mm-hmm. I was just so flabbergasted that, you know, it's just, to me, it's beyond belief, but, you know.
That's another thing when people will do personal hygiene drives. So we've had a lot of great groups, you know, that will collect personal hygiene products,
right.
and we're able to provide it. And people are really very the amount of joy over, you know, oh, you have toilet paper is pretty heartbreaking.
It really is.
Yeah.
When you stop and think about it, you know.
Yeah. What about things like diapers? Even there's another really expensive item for
diapers
women,
are
people.
Extremely expensive. And yes, we have groups that will do diaper drives mm-hmm. as well. So you think about the young families and you know all of the expenses, and that type of stress early on can really be damaging to the family.
Oh, sure.
Know, over long term.
Sure.
If you are struggling and you aren't able to enjoy your new baby, then that's going to kind of set you back in terms of the healthy parenting.
I can't tell you how angry I was when I heard that.
Yeah.
And then when I found out it was actually true, it's just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Now, all these organizations like yours and Family Promise and, you know, who are helping people, mm-hmm. and they can't, the people can't get what they need.
Right.
It's just
mind-boggling,
you know?
Yeah. I want to make sure I talk about Lambertville Academy, but the one thing I want to – that really is important to talk – how – one of the things that I love about Fisherman's Mark, and I've worked in a lot of different areas mm-hmm. in human services and mental health, is that our services are that – they're comprehensive. We've got a lot of different things all in one place. So I don't know if people will remember Maslow's hierarchy of need from Psychology 101. You know, it's like it has to do with, you know, until your basic needs are met, you can't go further. You have to have those basic physiological needs of, like, you know, food, clothing, shelter, and then you have to have safety. You have to feel safe in this world before you can do anything else. So if I have somebody that comes for help and they're fleeing domestic violence and I can't give them food, clothes for them and their children, I can't get them childcare, how am I going to talk to them about anything else? You know, mm-hmm. and so that's part
true.
Of the beauty of having these comprehensive services. Like, we're not just a food pantry. I mean, there's a lot of great food pantry. I'm not saying.
Oh, yeah.
But we're not just a food pantry. We also have all these other things that can help people
right.
with the long term. But until you can meet those basic needs and establish that trust, and then sometimes, you know, it's almost like if I'm working with somebody who is homeless, who, you know, has chronic mental health needs and who has a basic distrust of the system, if I don't have something to give them, I'm not gonna
right.
get them to come back. I'm not
right.
gonna
right.
get them to trust that you know I am there, that our agency is invested in mm-hmm. their long term well being.
Right. Right.
So even something like we have backpacks that have personal hygiene products in them that we give to that would have to also have MREs, those prepared military
mm-hmm.
ration.
Mm-hmm.
To give something. There's a tangible something. And then there's the food. And that kind of brings people back. Our food pantry really is kind of a gateway to a lot of our other services. You know,
it's like a doorway to all your other
right?
things. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I should mention that we just moved our offices. And we moved into the Hibernia Firehouse. And it's a wonderful new situation because our social services office and our food pantry are now in one location. So we're seeing our clients every day and able to check in, you know, and say, hey, how's it going? And really establish that trust, like
mm-hmm.
I said, so critical, and stability, that we can then say, you know, oh, you're not looking so well today. Do you want to talk? And then we can find out when a crisis is coming and help them avoid it.
Right.
Or, you
right.
know, talk, help. You know, that those we got those basic needs met. Now let's talk about where your future is. What are you looking for, and how can we help you get there? But again, it's like it help you get there. It's right. supporting you as you're doing it. And,
right.
And you're the responsibility is on you, and therefore the credit goes to you.
Right.
So
now you wanted to mention the what was it, Lamberville Academy?
Yeah, Lamberville Academy okay. is our early childhood education center, and it's NACE accredited. And so it and actually we just recently completed a new NACE accreditation, which it means we passed the gold standard in early childhood education. But we do reduce tuition for low-income working families. So it means that high-quality academic-based child care is available to all of the children of our community.
Okay.
That's really important. You know, there's a lot of kids who are not getting the academic enrichment that they need. A lot of the kids that use go to Lamberville Academy, Spanish is the primary language at home, so they're building their English skills before they start kindergarten. And it's preschool, but also school-aged, before school and after school care.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps people to work.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
And not worry about what
programs.
The kids are doing, you know,
exactly.
or that I can't work because my kid's been a...
Right. Right. Exactly. So they're not limited in terms of their own income by the fear again, it's one of those basic needs. Safety of your children is pretty critical for you to then go on to the next step. So...
And how young do you take the children?
Age two is
two.
The youngest,
okay.
yeah.
And
yeah.
they don't have to be toilet trained?
No. Okay. No, they don't. yeah.
Let's see. You answered my other question. Would you like to share a client story?
Sure. Yeah, I kind of talked a little bit about things like if a person who's coming with domestic violence, and mm-hmm. that does happen. I also alluded to another story that's been on my mind is, you know, there's times when we'll work with people for extended period of time. You know, there's a lot of people in our area who are prone to ongoing crisis. You know, they might have mental health needs. They might have cognitive impairments or be literacy issues. They might be extremely low income, you know, and that's people living on right. disability with that, you know, $768. You're obviously, you don't have a cushion in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're there as a resource for people, and they'll just, you know, they will do well for a period of time and then have to come back in crisis. And, you know, I do have clients who, you know, they'll come and they'll just get their paperwork done. So it'll be like, okay, I just need you to read my – first it's I need you to do my SNAP application, mm-hmm. my SNAP recertification, that's food stamps, or my Norwest Cap energy assistance paperwork. And then the next time it's like, okay, you're going to do it and I'm just going to read it. And then we're working together. But sometimes it's that check-in where it can be like, okay, finally I'm going to share a little bit more. It's at those moments that very often you ask the question early on. I was like, that's exactly what I've been saying I wanted to share about. It's at those meetings where it'll be like, okay, so are you ready for additional services now? And so I have recently had quite a few people who are saying, you know what, I think it's finally time for me to go back to the psychiatrist. It's finally time that I'm going to get into counseling. And so those are really, you know, right. they're moments to celebrate because, you know, they needed to come to it on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to get there. But they needed to also feel stronger. So by yeah. being empowered, by helping them to learn that, you know, they could do these forms on their own, they were doing fine, they were now ready to say, okay, I want to take the next step to really improve my situation. And so that's a really wonderful thing. It just happened to have, you know, quite
right.
a couple people that happened.
Oh, that's
that
great.
Recently.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. yeah.
Now I
yeah.
have a question. Mm-hmm. When you said it's finally time to see the psychiatrist, are there low income psychiatry services available for them? How would they take advantage of that?
Yeah. So there's two different options now in Hunterdon County. You know,
right.
if we're talking about Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Behavioral Health. So they accept Medicaid, but they also have, you know, if the person doesn't have insurance at the first intake, there's patient assistance that's through the hospital network that can help with that. But then now Catholic Charities has recently started accepting Medicaid, and that's pretty huge. And I've referred quite a few people there, you know, already, because just having options, having more than one place is really – and sometimes people may, you know, Hunter Behavioral Health does great work, but some people may not have had a good experience, and they might say, I'm not going back there.
Right.
And that's, you know, when that's their only option, that's pretty hard, you know, horrible to not be right. able to say, oh, so now.
And it's like everything else. Some people have great experience with it, and some people have terrible experience with it, you know.
Right. And you don't know where the issue.
Exactly. You know, exactly. And I know that doesn't Catholic Charities have a sliding scale too?
They do.
I know. That's what I thought. Because I've had them on the radio before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought they did, but
yeah. So that's a recent change that has actually helped to make sure that people have access, mm-hmm. even if they if it's affordability is an
right.
issue for them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have to do a real quick commercial. Don't turn the mics off or anything, because we'll be right back, folks. This is Thursday, November 10th, is going to be the Business and Home Expo and Restaurant Showcase. It's the 28th Business Home Expo. And it's going to be held at the 100 Central Regional High School Fieldhouse Commons. It's from 2 to 7 p.m. From 5 to 7 is a restaurant showcase where all these food providers are going to be there, and you can walk around and get food from all of them and then vote on which one you felt was the best. And you got a free supper because everything is free. So it is from 2 to 7 on the November 10th at 100 Central Regional High School Fieldhouse Commons, and hope to see you there. NAMI will have a table there, and, you know, we'll be not far from ShopRite, because ShopRite has all the food. So we won't be far from there, but it's true, we won't be far from there. But do come if you can. It's like I said, it's free. It's a Thursday, and it's open till 7 o'clock. So, okay. Now, getting back to Ronnie, mm-hmm. I know you want to talk about some of the events you have coming up.
Yeah.
I would like to know what a Pizza with a Purpose fundraiser is. Because to me, pizza has got one purpose. You know, eat it. You know.
Well, Pizza with a Purpose is kind of a concept that has come from a lot of different recent media attention. There's things like John Bon Jovi has these kitchens, mm-hmm. kitchens, and that are really designed to support people that can't necessarily pay
right.
for their meal. Pizza with a Purpose is from we have a local pizzeria that's actually artisan pizza at Liberty Hall Pizzeria, which is in Lambertville in the Canal Studios. And they came to us and said that they really wanted to start a program where every, I don't know if it's every month, regularly.
Okay.
They had these people would come out and dine in their restaurant, and a portion of that evening sales would go towards mm-hmm. whatever
right.
Nonprofit. But they were they're very committed to human services, so they're very excited to choose us as one of their first and kick it off. So Pizza with a Purpose is how people can go and they can enjoy a meal, but they know that they're giving back to programs
mm-hmm.
that are so critical.
Right.
We used it as an opportunity also to engage young people in talking about bringing awareness to certain subjects. And we timed the dates. It's on November 15th and 16th at Liberty Hall Pizza in Lambertville. And we chose those dates because those are that week is National Hunger and Homelessness Awareness Week. So we have local Girl Scouts, we have kids from a local kindergarten, and we have also kids from our Lambertville Academy program, all putting together banners to talk about, bringing awareness to issues of hunger and homelessness
mm-hmm.
in our area.
Okay.
Because I think that conversation is really important. I think, like we've said, there's a lot of people who don't understand that right. poverty and food insecurity exist, and that homelessness exists in our area. And children very often can be creative and passionate about how to help other people. So it's really kind of beautiful thing that like they get to see what they can do as a group and how, right. We support one another. I think one of the groups is doing a whole theme on superheroes. We're superheroes when we help each other. So it's really quite nice. The other thing for Pizza with a Purpose on November 16th, so it's both the 15th and the 16th. If you go, a portion of your bill goes to Fisherman's Mark. But on the 16th, we're having a party in the back room. They have a nice space that they're giving to us. And so for that, it's a $50 ticket, but it's all you can eat, family-style pizza. And so it's like everything on their menu that just comes through, including Nutella pizza, which I'm excited for that.
Is that chocolate?
Yeah, it's chocolate pizza. and then there's a live music. So we have a wonderful group called The Key of She, which is a jazz pop female a cappella group in the area. And they're going to come and sing in the back room. So,
that's cool.
So for tickets for that or for more information, you can always call us. And our number is 609-397-0194. Or we always have information on our website, which is www.fishermansmark.org, all one word. And those tickets, I should say, it's $50 for adults, but $40 for kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do old people like me get a break or what?
You get really good Nutella pizza. You just come on out. We'll see.
Yeah.
We have actually this time of year, we have a lot of different events. So that was the eating for good. We also have one coming up on Thanksgiving. That's our turkey trot. This is the second annual turkey trot where the morning of Thanksgiving, it's a 5K. It's either apparently there's runners and then there's walkers as well. And so that's, a great opportunity that, the registration fee supports our programs. Mm-hmm. But it's another great community event of people coming in and enjoying.
That's separate from the one that's up here, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. This one starts and ends in Lambertville.
Okay.
It's a joint event through the Delaware Valley, Delaware River Chamber of Commerce and Fisherman's Mark.
Okay.
That's a lot of fun.
And how do you raise funds, Budette?
It's the registration fee that
goes. Okay. For like if you have a team or something, you.
Yeah. I don't know, but you could check our website. And
I was just asking because a lot of times they have
sponsorships.
They sponsor
a
team,
a runner.
Right? Or they have a team that's going to do it.
Right, right.
Because I know during the summer we had a walk.
Right.
NAMI had a walk down.
Yeah.
In Flemington.
Right.
Up Main Street and down, and it was like if you had a team, so. I was just curious.
People would sponsor the teams.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. I actually, you caught me on that.
I don't know. I wasn't trying to. I just it just popped into my head.
Yeah. Information on our website and then also the Delaware River Chamber of Commerce has information on their website as well about it.
Okay.
With details on sponsorships. Yeah.
And you also have?
We have a holiday bazaar coming up.
Bazaar. Is that the food and gift program?
No.
Oh, that's different. Okay.
Yeah.
You got a holiday bazaar.
Yeah. So we have some volunteers that have recently decided to put together this event where we have donated a lot of holiday decorations have been donated to us. And so they're going to solicit some more donations, and then we're going to have kind of one of those sales where there's no price tags.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be an unsale, that people can pay what they want. And all of it will go towards towards the programs of Fisherman's Mark. And we also have a local Girl Scout group that's going to be, they're not sure if they're going to be baking or making ornaments, but they're really excited to be a part of it as well. And it's really just an opportunity. You know, a lot of the time we really think about the fact that we live in an area and a time of abundance. There's a lot of people who have more than they need, you know, like particularly things like holiday decorations, right? So if we take the if we take the abundance and we match it to the need, then we all win in that situation.
Right.
And so this is another. It was like, wow, we have a lot of. So a volunteer just decided to run with it, and he said he wanted to do this holiday bazaar, and that's on December 3rd. And it'll start at 9 a.m. Not sure when it'll end. So that, but that's
when you run out of product.
When we run out of product, which will probably be never. but that's December 3rd, and it'll be right in front of Hibernia Fire Station, right in front of the Fisherman's Mark offices. So that there'll be more information about that on our website as well.
Do you find that you get more clients or people coming now that you're all in one place?
Oh yeah.
Rather than separated?
I think we do. I think that, you know, obviously our move, we got a lot of attention around it. You know, it's been a great time. We've been celebrating it. And so I think that there were people who maybe didn't know about us or didn't want to admit their vulnerability. But our numbers have definitely come up. And like I said, there's also that opportunity for more face-to-face time
with
people. You know, I think it's fairly common that, you know, when the experience that I have is when I'm working with someone, when they're going into crisis, they start avoiding me.
Yeah.
So no, it's just, you know, just being able to, like, it's something that happens,
right.
You know, it's a normal thing. Not wanting to admit, oh, this is happening again. And so it's like giving us the chance to stop it before it gets worse. So that's really been a wonderful thing.
The corresponding sponsor, what is that? Or didn't I get that right?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay. Well, the food and gift program. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this time of year, we've got a lot of people coming in because they are, you know, looking for additional support. And
okay.
So that's another opportunity that if people want to give back, we have a sponsor of family and a gift of community program. So people can be a part of helping area families, you know, have that wonderful experience of a holiday meal by sponsoring them. It's for $30. You are sponsoring that family for both, you know, Thanksgiving and the holiday time. And then there's also, so that's through Fisherman's Mark. The other part is called a gift of community, and that's for $100. So that's saying that you want to do even more. And so we have a special little, you know, whenever you do a gift of community, we'll give you a card that describes it. So if you're like trying to, you know, you have somebody on your wish list that's hard to buy for, on your shopping list that's hard to buy for, the person who has everything. Well, you can give them the gift of community saying that you've made this donation in their honor, and we'll give you something to put under the tree if you celebrate with a tree. We'll give you something that, you know, that talks about how you've given back to a community program, which strengthens our entire area.
Right? That's right.
Yeah.
Do you have any other
Well, I do think, you know, talking about the Hibernia Firehouse, since we do have some time, you know, just we've gone through a lot in the past year. It's been a very, very busy year for us. You know, that we made the decision and we moved out of our offices as a part of our financial recovery program, basically, and a better business model. So Fisherman's Mark, for a period of time, was struggling because funding has been greatly reduced. And it's harder and harder to get some of the local funding. There was a state program that used to provide funding to some of our programs, but that was considered preventative, and so that's no longer in existence. That entire section of the budget in, for the state of New Jersey doesn't exist anymore. So we had to do a lot of work to really make sure that we were able to continue, just plain able to continue. And so moving into the firehouse is a part of a better business model. Getting selling the properties that we owned to pay off debt was absolutely essential. Now, we are in a better position. We're in a better position than we have been in for years. But we are still not fully funded. And so we're doing a lot of work to make sure that happens. But being in this firehouse is part of a new relationship that we have with the Lambertville Fire Department, and particularly the Hibernia Fire Department, which our town basically, we used to have five different volunteer fire departments. And now we have a paid fire department. So those five fire departments, you know, combined. But Hibernia Fire Department maintained their nonprofit status so that they could keep this building as a community center. And so that was their idea and their goal.
Right.
And it was a perfect partnership. And they really have been amazingly supportive. And they're very enthusiastic about what we've done to strengthen the community. And we're enthusiastic about what they've done to strengthen the community. So it's really been a wonderful thing. And that move is a celebration of, you know, our recovery and our now we can start, you know, really planning our future and work towards, you know, assessing the needs and continuing our innovative and responsive programming, but going the next step as well.
Right. So. Why don't you give the telephone number and email address again, just in case?
Yeah. It's 609-397-0194. And our offices are located at 37 South Main Street, which is inside the Hibernia Firehouse. And we're open 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. We have volunteer opportunities. We have lots of ways for youth groups, church groups, business groups to come and do different volunteer programs and projects. We also have a lot of great ways for people to give back. If you're looking for, you know, a charity, particularly at this time of year, you know, you can know that our programs, our overhead, our administrative costs are about around 8%, which is really great, you know, because so many of our programs are volunteer run. So most of the donations, you know that it goes directly to programs. And then also we have our website, which is www.fishermansmark.org. And we've got a lot of information on there about different programs and different opportunities. But the best way to keep in touch with what we're doing is on our Facebook page. So we have Fisherman's Mark on Facebook. If you like us, there's constantly different groups. I just highlighted a couple, but I bet you by the time I get back in the office, somebody else will say, hey, you know what? We would like to have our, you know, this night, this concert, this something, do a food drive or do a fun drive for you. So it's really wonderful. You know, it's a constant celebration of community around our place. So
well, that's
we really
wonderful.
Enjoy it.
Ronnie, I'm so glad you were here. You got to come back.
Well, thank you for having me. I really do enjoy these talks, and I really value the work that NAMI does, and I know that it's from the heart for most of your volunteers, and I completely love the model that you are promoting and the classes and the, you know, when you said you're not in it, you don't have to do this battle alone. That's very powerful.
It's true. They don't, you know, just like your people don't have to do it alone. They have Fisherman's Mark to help them, you know.
Right.
Ronnie Todd Marino is the social services director for Fisherman's Mark in Lambertville. And I can't thank you enough. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold.